Welcome to the Fitness and Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Kennedy, and you tune in today because you're sick of trying every fad diet under the sun and training yourself into the ground without seeing any results. That's why I'm here, to share the most effective ways to eat and train for sustainable and real results. What's up, guys? Welcome back to this week's episode of the Fitness and Lifestyle Podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I've got a great guest on the show. I was lucky enough to be joined by a former world boxing champion in Will Tomlinson, Wild Will Tomlinson. I've had the pleasure of getting to know Will recently. He's a great dude. And we had a very casual chat today, but we got through a lot. And it was a very interesting interview. I got to ask all the questions I wanted to ask him and had a bit of banter, and it was good fun. So make sure you tune in for the whole episode. Let us know if you enjoy it by taking a screenshot of the show, posting it on your Instagram story, tag myself, tag Will. We'd love to hear your feedback. And of course, if you haven't subscribed to the show already, do hit that subscribe button so you can get all the future episodes, and feel free to go back through and check out the previous ones as well. But let's get stuck straight into the interview. Welcome to the show, mate.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolute pleasure. So I want to kickstart the show today with you giving us a bit of a rundown on how it all started, how your boxing career started, what age were you, and kind of what path you went down to get to where you are today.
Well, it's definitely been a long path at that. Started 20 years ago. I'm 32 now. I started when I was 12, had my first fight at 12. The reason I started, I was a 4'4", red-headed kid.
Four, five?
Grown a few inches, yeah. I'm sitting around, I think, I think like 5'9" on a good day. Yeah. Nah, maybe 5'7", 5'8". So I started at 12, just walked into a gym off the street with a couple of mates, started hitting the bags. I was, you know, pretty naturally gifted with it, I guess. And the trainers threw me in for some sparring. I did well, and they said, "Hey, you want to fight?" I'm like, "Yeah, why not?" They got me a fight down in Melbourne. So I grew up in Bensdale.
Okay. And how old were you with the first fight?
12.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
so I trained for about a month or two. They threw me in for my first fight. Had won by a second round knockout.
Okay.
Felt like the king of the world.
Yeah, I bet.
thought I was pretty good. But then I was soon brought back to reality because I lost my second fight.
Okay.
Then lost my third, fourth, and fifth. So I lost four fights straight after that. And I thought, you know, what's going on? Like, you know, this is what it wasn't what I signed up for. And then kind of took a few steps back and went back to the basics and stopped trying it. Because the worst thing was I won my first fight by knockout.
Yeah.
So then I thought I could go out and knock everybody that I fought.
Yeah.
So went back to the basics, learned to box, learned to, you know, use my brains in there rather than just my strength. And then won my fifth fight, sixth fight, and won about 50 odd straight after that. And then
50 straight.
Thereabouts.
Yeah. Right.
Like, yeah, I had a very, very good run.
Yeah.
Fought for state titles. National
and you reckon
titles.
That was because after those losses, they made you go back and work on the fundamentals and kind of think your way through it a little bit more instead of just going in expecting the knockout?
Of course, yeah. But, you know, this is when I was like 13, 14, 15.
It's crazy.
But then, yeah, obviously got older, fought for, again, state titles, national titles, fought my way into the AIS. I had a scholarship at the AIS in 2007 where I fought for Australia at Commonwealth Championships, Oceania Championships, World Championships.
Right.
They were for the 2008 Olympic team.
Okay.
And I was pretty... I was undefeated in Australia, I think, all of 2007, the majority of 2008 until the Olympic qualifying tournament.
Yep.
And I got beat in the final by Queensland, so I missed out on the Olympic team. And then I turned pro straight away, moved to Sydney to turn professional.
So
I got,
how do you actually turn pro?
Well,
anybody
can turn pro. You could turn pro if you want, you know, next week.
A couple of weeks off,
I'll get you ready. so I got kind of signed up by this promoter in Sydney, Fidel Tuchel, who was like a killer promoter back in the day.
Yeah.
And... he moved me up to Sydney and I started training out of a gym in Blacktown called the Blacktown Hit Squad.
Okay.
Very well-renowned gym at that time.
Yep.
And then, turned pro in July 2008 and got off to a great start. State title, professional state title, national title, regional titles. I was undefeated all the way up until all the way up to I fought for the world title, which I won in 2011, the IBO world title.
Where was that in Australia?
That was in Perth, one of Danny Green's shows.
Okay.
So I won that title in 2011, had four successful defences of that here in Australia. All on big TV networks here, like Main Event, yeah. Channel 9, Fox Sports. And then I got signed in the US to Golden Boy Promotions, Oscar De La Hoya's promotional business.
Yeah.
So me and my wife, Jess, we moved over there and lived in LA for just under 3 years. Had, great experiences like fighting in Vegas at the MGM Grand and fighting in San Diego and Texas, fought in Texas for the world title. That was on HBO.
Okay.
Yeah. So I got a lot of great exposure over there, had a really good run, good life experience. Then we moved back at the end of 2015 and had a couple more fights back here and then hung them up.
How old were you when you hung up their gloves?
I think it was 30.
Okay.
An old man.
Old man. And one of the questions that I got, I put up a thing on my Instagram story the other day, getting people to, if they wanted to ask questions. And
did anybody reply?
There was a shitload, yeah. Will you come out of retirement?
For the right fight, I would.
Okay.
And what makes the right fight? Number one, the right money.
Yeah.
The right opponent. Opportunity. So location, TV. There's a lot of things that make a good fight. But for the right fight, I would come out of retirement. But as long as you can promise to get my back right.
I'll do that for sure, 100%. So you mentioned, obviously, before, when you first started out. Now, keep in mind, you're only 12 at the time. But you've obviously had... how many losses did you have as a professional?
I retired as a pro. I had 29 fights, 26 wins, 2 losses, 1 draw.
Okay, cool. So when at the end of my LA trip, I had a chat. I did an interview with Tony Jeffries.
Don't know him.
Don't know?
No, I do know him.
And one of the questions I asked him was, what was his mindset and the whole process after a loss, obviously after a win, and I want to know the mindset after a win as well, but after a loss, what is the process? I'm sure it's different for everyone.
Initially, it can be a very daunting experience copping a loss, especially in professional boxing, because you can really only afford a few losses along the way before it starts really impacting your value as a fighter.
Okay.
People like to follow a winner.
Yeah.
It can be, very daunting. As I said, a daunting experience, and you've just got to overcome it and reset and go again. There's not really much you can do about it.
Yeah. So were you the type of person that obviously there wasn't that many of them, but after a loss, would you go back and watch tape of what you could improve on and get straight back in the gym, or would you kind of just write it out a bit?
The first pro loss that I had was in Vegas at the MGM Grand, and I don't think it was anything that I made that I did technically wrong in the fight.
Okay.
It was just more of my mindset going into the fight. Probably put too much pressure on myself to perform, and obviously, when you put too much pressure on yourself and you want something so bad, then you almost get the opposite reaction.
Yeah,
and
overthinking everything,
second-guessing everything you're doing, where I should have just stayed chilled, relaxed, and just let my instincts do what they've done for the last, however long. And but I didn't.
Yeah. So I want to stay on the topic of mindset. So that's after a loss. What about after a win? Is it... I'm assuming it's probably one of the best feelings you've ever felt in the world, especially as a pro boxer.
It's very hard to replicate that feeling you have of putting in a big ass training camp, starving yourself, making the weight, putting yourself through all that pressure, and then having the fight, having a good performance, getting the result, and then being announced the winner in front of those big crowds, and all that weight's just taken off your shoulders. It's a pretty good feeling.
100%. And when you're in the rooms I don't even exactly know how it works, but if you're in the rooms, you're about to go out to the ring, what is what goes through your mind as you're walking out and you're about to get in the ring? I'm assuming once that first punch is thrown and you're actually in there, kind of you just get focused and it's kind of business as usual. But the lead up to the fight, do you get pretty nervous, or is it what's going through your mind as you're walking out to the ring?
Well, it was different. I had a different mindset through the, you know, the 9 year span of my pro career. When I was young and hungry, like I was super focused, like I'd just be walking to the ring, just, you know, tunnel vision, just, you know, with a clear game plan in my head and ready to go out there and do the job.
Yep.
You know, I remember I used to be able to get into the ring and literally blank everything out other than my opponent and just focus solely on him. But, you know, I guess as I got older and my mindset changed a little bit, like that tunnel vision starts to expand and open up and things can creep in and that which can like deter you.
Yeah.
But ideally you want to have that tunnel vision and, you know, when you walk into the ring, just focused on doing the job.
Yeah. And as a pro, how far in advance would you usually find out that you've got an opponent? Like, how long would training camp be?
It depends on, you know, what level you are as you're in your career. Ranks, but like, yeah, you know, when you're starting out and you're fighting, like the first 2 years, I was fighting seven times a year, I think. I had 14 fights in my first 2 years.
Okay.
So like they're fights that are, they're just kind of fed to you quickly, yeah, and you don't really have time to prepare for a specific opponent.
And so is that just a matter of basically staying in fight shape year
round? Yeah, just staying in the gym, sparring a lot of different guys, getting used to just fighting whoever's in front of you.
Yep.
But then obviously once you start winning world titles and fighting for belts, you generally have your opponent locked in the date that you're fighting at least 10 weeks out, and that opponent locked in at least 8 weeks out. So you've got that good 8 week window to prepare for a specific opponent.
Yeah. And did you enjoy are you the type of person that enjoys the training and the hard work leading up to it, or did you kind of
I enjoy
the training but love the fighting?
So I enjoyed the training. I enjoyed the training. I hated the dieting. That was always, you know, one of my biggest challenges was starving myself to make weight.
Yeah.
So enjoyed training.
You look pretty shredded in some of those.
Didn't like the making the weight cut. But love the win. So everything else would become irrelevant when you got announced the winner, made it all worthwhile.
Yeah. So with you mentioned the dieting just then, what would it typically look like? Like how much weight would you have to lose coming into a fight on, like, usually?
So I'd typically start a training camp around 70 kilos. And
that's a comfortable weight for you to maintain?
That's just a natural weight for me. Around, like right now I'm 70 kilos.
Okay.
Yeah, I used to start training camp about, you know, I'd get notified by my management that I was fighting in 10 weeks, I'd be 70 kilos. I'd slowly bring my weight down to like 68, so drop a couple of kilos before that official 8 week training camp begun.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd start training camp at 68. Probably throughout that training camp, I'd try and get down to at least 62 kilos. So waking up in the morning after eating and drinking,
62.
After going to the toilet, 62 kilos, and then couldn't really get below that, you know, because I'm not sure exactly what my body fat percentage would have been, but it would have been low at 62 kilos. And then from that 62, I used to dry out, like dehydrate those last few kilos to make that 59 kilo limit.
Yeah, and for those that have no idea how all that process works, how does the whole water cut work?
So I used to do it by water loading. So
load first and then cut out.
So at least 10 days out, I would really start pretty much cutting all the sodium out of my diet.
Yeah.
Really start eating under 100 grams of carbs a day.
Yeah.
And then really start upping my water. I also used to go to the supermarket and buy sodium-free water as well. I used to drink anywhere up to 6 liters a day.
Yeah.
And then 6 liters a day, but then the last 2 days I'd pump it up to 8 liters of water a day.
Yeah.
Which, you know, on the scales makes you heavy, but it's kind of just going through.
Preparing your body to.
And if you haven't got any carbohydrates in your body or sodium in your body to retain the fluid, it just literally goes through and flushes everything out in the process.
Yeah.
And then I used to stop completely drinking water about about 24 hours out from my weigh-in. I just stopped completely.
And he's the weigh-in, what, 12, 24 hours before the fight?
24 hours.
24.
Yeah. So I'd stop drinking 24 hours before the weigh-in, and I'd just go to the toilet and get rid of everything that I've drank and plus some.
Yeah.
And then get on the scales, make weight.
And then start carving back up and rehydrating.
So you got that 24-hour period where you can, you know, rehydrate, eat up, and basically get as heavy as you want. I used to, you know, first thing I do is just get concentrated on replenishing the electrolytes and stuff. Yeah. So, Hydrolyte, Powerades, lots of fast digesting carbs, so like lots of sugary stuff initially. And just concentrating at least 4 liters of fluid back into me before I started eating food.
Because I assume you'd have to be careful not to overdo it to the point where you're feeling sluggish and heavy once you get on.
Oh yeah, there was in the ring plenty of times when I'd overdone it when eating up after a weigh-in, and you'd be literally lying in your hotel room like dying. You're like, I ate so much at times, which when I say ate so much, probably wasn't much food at all, but because my stomach was like a shriveled up little acorn. And you eat a little bit of food and it feels like so much. And there was times where I'd eaten so much that I woke up the next day and my stomach would actually be sore because like almost like it's bruised.
Yeah.
And then you'd be worried in the fight that you're not going to get hit in the gut. So but that's all about staying disciplined and, you know, having your eyes on the prize and not celebrating the win of making weight.
Because
that's not the win. And sometimes making weight becomes such a fight in itself that people make weight, fighters make weight, and they feel like they've won the fight.
Yeah.
It's almost like, you know, that same relief as winning a fight. But the trick is not to get suckered into that.
It's just another step in the process.
Yeah.
What was the highlight of your career?
Had a lot of good times in my career. A couple of good moments along the way was probably my first big performance on the big stage was when I knocked out an American guy named Verquan Kimbrough, who was Roy Jones Jr.'s little protege, on the Danny Green Roy Jones Jr. card in Sydney at Ace Arena. So that was in front of 20,000 people at Ace Arena. So it was like a huge platform for me to launch the Wild Will brand to Australia in front of the hundreds of thousands of people that had tuned in to watch Danny Green and Roy Jones fight. So I went out there and I was 9-0, and my opponent was like 23 wins, 2 losses or something. So it was a bit of a mismatch and it kind of experience.
Yeah.
But I went out there and I ended up knocking him out in the third round and had a great win. And then from that, had another, I think, 5 or 6 fights. And then got the world title fight and again on one of Greeny's shows in Perth and won that. That was obviously a huge moment for me. Obviously every fighter's dream to be able to win a world title.
World title, yeah.
And then I had the 3 or 4 defenses of that, which was a great time, that 2-year period as the world champion here in Melbourne. And then I got signed by Golden Boy and had a lot of great experiences over there as well, fighting at the MGM Grand.
That's
and
unreal.
Fighting on HBO and all that stuff. Yeah.
Crazy. Who was your coach over in LA? And do you have one coach or do you have like multiple coaches that help you with different aspects of the training?
At any one time you'd have like one boxing coach. Yeah. And sometimes you'd work with the strength and conditioning training as well if that's what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
But normally the attention's focused to the boxing coach.
So
my coaches in Australia was Lincoln Hudson, my professional coach, up in Sydney. Then I moved to America and was trained by Manuel Robles.
Yep.
Who, he's got some very, very good boys at the moment, a few world champions. And then I left him and ended up training for a couple of fights with a guy named Nico Robledo, 2 Mexican guys.
Okay. So that's the highlight. What was the lowest point of your career? Was there a point where it kind of sticks out as the lowest point?
My first professional loss was pretty tough.
Yeah.
That was That was in Vegas.
Yeah. What round was that in?
Went the distance.
Okay.
Yeah. Just lost over 10 rounds. Just got outboxed because I was, again, trying too hard.
Yeah.
I was just loading up every punch and really, pressing the action too much, and my opponent was just able to sit back and pick me off and outbox me.
Yeah.
But after that, there was a lot of, I was very in a very low patch for a while. And then there was also another low patch when I fought, I forget his name, he was a Filipino guy. It was on a Channel 9 show here in Australia.
Okay.
In Melbourne. And poor performance.
Yeah.
I won, but it was a shitty performance.
You won?
Yeah, I won.
Yeah.
You don't think I won?
No, I assumed you won. I don't know.
I got the decision.
Okay.
Right?
But you weren't happy with it.
I was not happy with how I fought. I genuinely believe I just did enough to win.
Okay.
And, some viewers thought otherwise.
Okay. Did you listen to that?
It didn't help that Channel 9 had my arch rival Billy Dibb commentating the fight from Sydney.
Talking smack.
Talking shit about me the whole fight. It wasn't in my favour, the commentary. But was also a low point. Because there was a lot of just, negative talk about the decision and stuff, which... After that fight, me and my wife went for a holiday to Europe for 8 weeks, and I spent the entire trip in Europe just buddy thinking about what everyone was saying about me. Yeah.
So you do take it. So after a loss or even after a win, did you let negative kind of comments or feedback from other people, outside sources, get to you at all?
I'd be lying if I said I didn't. It didn't impact me at all. Of course. Like, you can't... it's easy to say that it doesn't, but of course it does. But it just comes with time and experience of how to deal with those types of opinions. Like, you work out whose opinion you value and take on board, and whose opinion you just don't even give it the time of the day.
Yeah. When you were growing up, once you started getting into boxing, so even you're already boxing at 12 years old, was there anyone that you enjoyed watching? Like, do you enjoy watching boxing now and when you were actually still fighting?
Yeah, I used to watch boxing all the time. That's obviously why I got into it.
Yeah.
Costa Zou, Jeff Fenwick, Mike Tyson, Roberto Duran, they're my four favourite fighters.
Yeah.
Even this weekend I'll be tuning in to watch the Canelo Triple G rematch. I've actually been going since a recent change in my work schedule, I've been going to a lot of local fights here in Melbourne.
Yeah.
Just getting around all the local Melbourne talent. And
I was going to ask you, is there anyone, who do you kind of see as the next big thing, or someone that's going to do well out of Australia?
In the short term, Andrew and Jason Maloney.
Okay.
Twin brothers from here in Melbourne, but trained with Angelo Haider up on the Gold Coast. They're both red hot prospects. They're beyond prospects now. They're contenders. They're both world rated. Jason Maloney's next fight is October the 20th. He's fighting for the IBF world title against someone, Rodriguez.
Okay.
Puerto Rican guy in Orlando, Florida.
Yep.
So he's, very soon could potentially be Australia's next world champion, and I genuinely believe he's got the ability to get the win.
Yep.
And Andrew Maloney just fought for the a defence of his WBA regional title, which against number 4 in the world, Luis Concepcion from Panama. He beat him over 10 rounds, and now he'll be rated top 3 in the WBA, and he'll get a world title fight within the next one or two fights. So them two boys, they're going to be our next world champs.
Awesome.
Either one of them.
Awesome. Do you, just going back to your career quickly, so physically, what's the process after a fight? So regardless of whether you win or lose, I'm assuming you, most of the time, unless you get an early knockout, you'd cop a few shots during the fight. What's the process in terms of recovery? Like, do you ice straight away? Was there a process that you followed after every fight? through begin the recovery process?
The process that always used to that you know, had to take place after my last 10 fights was I'd spend a lot of time in the back rooms getting stitched up because I always used to get really bad cuts.
Yeah.
I never used to get too like really bad swelling or anything that required ice. Although my brain probably could have done with a bit of ice, but it's hard to ice your brain. But yeah, so I wouldn't drink straight away. Like early in my career, I was probably a bit like immature and yeah, used to have a few beers and stuff after the fights, which is stupid considering you've just dehydrated yourself to make weight and you've been hit in the head you know, a few hundred times. So I'd always wait a few days before I'd drink alcohol.
Yep.
But normally, me and my wife Jess would just eat lots of food, and just fatten up and make up for lost time.
Yeah, in the ring, once I don't know whether it change after the more fights you have under your belt, but like when you get a decent hit in the ring, is there that much adrenaline that you really don't feel much of the pain, or are you in pain the majority of the time?
Have you ever been hit in the chin?
Yeah, but not in a boxing ring.
Like, you know, have you ever been buzzed where your head just starts buzzing and it doesn't really hurt?
No.
It's more of a, like a, almost like you hit hard and you almost have like a out-of-body experience.
Yeah.
It hurts, like, when you talk about getting hurt in a fight by a punch, you get whacked in the guts.
Okay, yeah.
That's what
hurts.
Get
the wind taken out.
When you get hit in the chin or the head, it doesn't really hurt.
Mm. Well, how do you... I'm assuming it'd be hard to maintain game plan, maintain focus once you've been buzzed.
That's generally what, you know, takes you out of your game plan, yes.
Yeah.
But that's when you've got to, like... It's what you train for.
Yeah.
In sparring, when you're having all your sparring sessions leading into the fight, you get hit,
you get
buzzed, and... That's when you work out how to react to those situations. Which generally, it's best when you stay calm and you know, revert back to those training sessions and what did you do then? And
what was the? Did you do much strength training leading into a fight, or was it predominantly aerobic based?
So early days in my pro career, I used to do like strength and conditioning training pretty religiously. Like what I was telling you earlier, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturdays was always weights, weight training, all like strength-based stuff.
Compound movements and stuff like that,
And but then as I got older, started fighting to make weight, struggling to make weight, I had to pretty much ditch all of that and just swap that for cardio to just concentrate on burning, like losing weight.
Yeah, expanding as much as
losing weight and sadly probably losing muscle at the same time.
100%. What are you a big fan of the UFC?
I wouldn't say I'm a big fan. No.
You enjoy watching UFC?
I watch it, yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't like go to the pub on the weekends to watch
it. To go out of your way and watch
it. No.
Did you watch the Mayweather and McGregor fight?
Yeah,
I did. So, what did you think? What were your expectations before it, and what did you think after it?
I thought McGregor wouldn't lay a glove on Mayweather, and I was very, very scared that after the first couple of rounds that McGregor was going to cause this big upset and beat him because he was landing some big shots on him and looking pretty good.
Yeah.
And that would have just been disastrous for boxing, especially as a boxing purist. Like, not that I have a rivalry with UFC, but everyone seems to think that there's like this, you know, you're either UFC or you're boxing. And I don't really care, to be honest with you, but it just would have, you know, that people's opinions would have been formed on what was a superior fighting code if McGregor had beaten Mayweather. Yeah. But it was good that Mayweather won and restored boxing as the number one style of fighting.
Awesome. A couple more things before we wrap up. So this next question could probably be a bit easier if we did it in a video form. So maybe we could do some videos next time we do a session. But for someone that's just doing boxing for fitness, but they do want to improve their technique, they want to improve at boxing, what are some tips that you can give in terms of improving it, whether it be footwork, whether it be practicing certain drills?
we could sit here and talk about this for a long time.
Yeah, we could.
But in a nutshell, like, everything seems to become easier in boxing when you have that good balance stance.
Okay.
So how you position your feet,
yeah,
how you're like bending your knees and you're in your most balanced position. Because mm-hmm. when you're in your most balanced position, you've got the ability to move your upper body and, you know, throw your punches and, you know, put as much power into those shots,
yeah, yeah,
without becoming off balance in the process and feeling awkward and,
yep, yep,
you know, uncoordinated.
Okay.
So all about your footwork.
Foot position. Awesome. And we'll next time we train, we'll do some videos.
Yeah.
And if you've got a fair bit of stuff on your page anyway, I'll put all the links to Will's social media in the notes of the podcast as well. Lastly, mate, what are you doing at the moment? What's next for Will Tomlinson?
So I'm going to start doing boxing promotions, working with Melbourne's up-and-coming talent and going to turn them into boxing superstars in this country. I really want to try and, you know, revive and reinstate boxing in Melbourne and Australia as a, like, a mainstream sports attraction.
Yeah.
I've got a meeting right after this downstairs with the manager of the MSAC,
yep,
about putting a show on here.
Amazing.
So I'm just, you know, just
in talks with
yeah,
people, yeah.
Yep.
Unreal.
So stay tuned.
Awesome.
I don't know what
it's exciting. That's good.
I don't know what the business is going to be called yet,
yeah,
but any ideas, let me know.
Wild World Promotions.
Yeah, that's a bit tacky, I think.
All right, mate. Well, thanks for coming on the show today. I really do appreciate it. And I'm sure everyone that tunes in today will enjoy the episode as well. So we'll have to do another one once you got it up and going. And and hopefully we'll see you promoting some fights sometime soon.
Sweet. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Keep punching.
I will. Thanks for tuning in, guys. If you enjoyed the Instagram Live, make sure you, once the episode comes out in a couple of weeks, take a screenshot of the episode, post it up on your Instagram story for us, and tag myself and Will. For those that have tuned in to the podcast, thank you so much for tuning in. Hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. And like I said, all Will's social media and everything will be in the show notes below. So go and check him out. And look forward to chatting to you guys in the next episode.